I got thinking about decisions that we make. And you know, the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is so full of the historical detail of people's lives. Abraham, David, I mean, Moses, Joshua, all these people, good and bad. And I got thinking, Lord, let's look at some of these, because let me ask you a question. Where you are today, are you not where you are today because, for the most part, of some decisions that you made at one point in your life? The circumstances of your life, good or bad, is it not a result of decisions, some good, some not so good, as to where you are today? But you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I came to a point in my life, I was in my late 30s, and I came to realize that some of the things I'd been sowing into my life was not the best things. And it had brought me to a place of circumstances which I didn't like very much at all. And I made a decision. I said, I'm going to start sowing something different in my life. I'm going to go the way of the Lord that I know is the way I should go. Not just relax and go on laissez-faire, whatever will be. I'm going to take authority over it. And I'm going to start making decisions. Now, when you start doing this, your life does not immediately change. You've noticed that? You make a decision. The next morning, you still got the same problem you had the night before. You still got the same debts you had. You still got the same whatever it was, relationships that you built over a period of, they're still there. But as you begin to sow new seed, a new crop is going to come. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now that means good or bad. That means even if you repented, you sowed a seed of something, and there's still a crop of something that has to come forth. But we begin to pray, we begin to say, Lord, I'm sowing a new seed, and the devil comes and he lies to you during that time. He says, look, nothing's changing, nothing is ever going to change, you might as well go back and continue to live that same old reckless life, you might as well go ahead and sin here, sin there, enjoy a little pleasure here, a little pleasure there, it isn't going to change for you. But he's lying, amen. And if we persist, if we press in, amen, and sow something different and make some different decisions, something is going to change in your life. And one day, you're going to see it turn. Amen? Yeah. Now, it may not happen immediately to all your loved ones. Okay? They make their decisions too. You've got to remember that. Okay? And some of our children, for instance, some of what they're going through is something that we sowed in their life, like it or not. We didn't know we were doing anything wrong, but we sowed something into their life, probably as a result of some other decision that we made. Now, I want to focus on Brother Lot. Can I call him Brother Lot? The Bible calls him Righteous Lot. And I know that I have to overcome my thinking of Lot to call him Righteous Lot. Okay? If God called him Righteous Lot, I'll call him Brother Lot. Okay? Now, Lot made a lot of bad decisions. But let's start off with what the Lord says about Lot. Okay? I'm in the book of Luke. Lot was a real man. He was a historical man. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. If you look in Luke, now I like Matthew better, but let's look in Luke 17 today. If you brought your Bible, I encourage you to bring your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles down here that you can borrow, take home if you want. But in the 17th chapter of Luke, actually Lot is a picture of the end time. The Lord is using Lot as an example. And he was demanded, verse 20 of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Whatever you thought was the thing you were going to see. You know, the internet is full of, these are the signs, it's going to happen this year. Another one says, oh, it's going to happen in October. And all kinds of dates are being said. I wonder if people ever get back to these people that are setting all these dates and say, well, hello, this date came and God went. Did you really hear from God when you said that? Probably not. So, be that as it may, it does not come with observation. In other words, it's not natural physical signs of the coming of the kingdom. Now, what does the coming of the kingdom mean? It doesn't just mean the second coming of the Lord. It means where is the kingdom? By the way, what is the kingdom?
The Holy Spirit.
The kingdom of God is in you. So if you're looking for signs of the coming of the kingdom, out there, moon, stars, whatever it is, if you're looking for signs, you're going to miss it. And you know, the people in Jesus' day, the Son of Man came. The Son of God was on the scene, and they missed him.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
What were they looking for?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't looking for the humble servant. They weren't looking for the man of authority that had the authority to cast out demons. No, they weren't looking for that. Somehow their eyes were blinded. Oh, I'm not getting to Lot very fast. Okay, let's go on. He said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. What's been happening in church history in my generation? Oh, it's happening in Toronto. Oh, it's in Florida. Oh, it's in some place in Texas. Oh, it's here. Oh, it's there. Everybody goes running in buses down there, and you know what? It all collapses in a little while. That wasn't the kingdom of God, brethren. Amen? So he said, if you're saying lo here, then he says, and he said to the disciples, I've got to read the context before I get to Lot, okay? I've got to read what Jesus was saying before he said that, so you know the context in which he said it. And he said to his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Yes, we're in one of those days. Wouldn't we love to see the Son of Man? Wouldn't we love to have his presence in our midst? And you know, sometimes he's in our midst and we don't even know it. You know, I'll never forget that day that we had our midweek Bible study in the back room. I remember right where Rita and I were sitting, and we heard out here, it was night. Remember? You came in.
I remember something.
Yes. And we were, Reed and I, both, we heard a noise out here in this part of the building. People talking. Remember, Rita? And we looked at each other and we thought, who are those people that came in to the outer room? We could hear them. And so we both got up and went to the door. Didn't I get up with you? I think I did. And just as Rita is reaching for the door handle, Ellen bursts in from the other side. And Rita said, Ellen, how'd you ask her? Was that you making all that noise in the outer room?
No.
I get it wrong.
Yeah, because I'm the one who had the vision.
Okay.
Anyway.
But I heard the noise too. You had the vision, I heard the noise.
But I heard crying amongst it when you didn't.
Yeah.
And so when Ellen came in, I said, Ellen, are you okay? I heard somebody crying out here in the sanctuary. And you assured me that you were okay. You were actually doing very well that night. And we went back to praying or singing. And I kept saying, Ellen, are you sure you're okay? I heard somebody crying out here. She reassured me she was okay. So we went back to singing and praising the Lord. And then when we were praying, I asked the Lord, what is this? And that's when I saw the vision.
Yeah, and the Lord was sitting
about right where Linda is right now, straight back from the pulpit.
Yeah, right about where Linda is. And he had his head in his hands.
There was stuff before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to share the whole vision with me.
Well, go ahead. We started.
Anyway, the Lord began to show me what was going on out here. There were, right here, there were about 3 or 4 people having fellowship together. They didn't have any odd against each other. They were enjoying each other's company. And the thought came to me was chatter, light chatter. They were just doing a lot of chattering. And there was a light above them. It wasn't like this. It was more like a spotlight. You know, if you were in a production or something, they would put the spotlight down on you. The spotlight was right on these people. And I could see what they were wearing. They were wearing khaki-colored clothes. Well, no, not khaki-colored. They were bright-colored, like Hawaii or Jamaica, you know, something you would wear in Florida or California or somewhere. And
summer fun clothes.
They had shorts on, like khaki shorts, and then they had this bright-colored shirt on, and then the shirt was open about 6 inches. And I couldn't see anything. But the word came to me, play clothes, that they were wearing play clothes. And then, not even an arm's length away, was a man sitting on the bench. And straight back. And the man was sitting just like this, I can show you. He had an old robe on. You could tell it was worn, very worn, much wear. It was kind of dirty. Wasn't shining bright, nothing like that. The man was weeping and in great distress. That was the vision. So later I was asking the Lord, well, what is this, Lord? What does this mean? You know, and blah, blah, blah. Nobody kind of had anything. And the Lord showed me 3 things in that vision. First, he showed me that the people, they the casual manner that they came into the presence of the Lord. They didn't even know the Lord was sitting there. They came in a casual manner. They were enjoying each other. They had, you know, and there was much chatter. And the second thing I noticed was that they were wearing play clothes. That's what came to me, play clothes. And that this part here was that their flesh was being exposed. Even though I didn't see anything, that was the thing that came to me, that flesh is being exposed in the church. Okay. Third thing that came to me was, and also that they were in the spotlight.
Ah.
Jesus was sitting in the dimness of the room, and they were in the spotlight, and he was just waiting for the opportunity for they to get out of the way that he could begin to move in the body of Christ. So flesh is being exposed.
Yes.
In the holy place, church.
Okay. Amen.
One time, we were also having a prayer meeting in the back, and it was very sober. Everybody was very serious, and we were sitting there. I don't remember when this was. And one of the saints was going back and forth and you know, crying out for the Lord to come through. And all I know is I sat back, and, you know, I didn't feel the presence of the Lord. I just said, well, Lord, I know by faith that you're everywhere, even if I don't feel you. And suddenly, that this is not to make me anything, because I'm an ordinary person, and I don't have wings behind my back. Suddenly, I heard the Lord say, now that's true, Brother Yancey, you know.
I know, yeah.
You know I'm rough around the edges. Suddenly, I heard Jesus say, I'm available and approachable. And I was shocked. And I sat back and like nobody else heard it. I'm looking at the saints crying out for the Lord. And here he's talking to me saying, I'm available and approachable. And I sat back and I thought, that's one of the best things I ever heard in my life. Like, you can come to him, he's approachable and available. So I interrupted the person who was crying out to the Lord, said, excuse me, the Lord just talked to me. And so I told them, and they didn't get it. And so I kind of cracked up laughing because the prayer meeting went on. It's just an example of sometimes when the Lord is here and we don't get it. It's okay.
Amen.
Jesus loves us because he knows we're not perfect.
So we're talking about the kingdom of God is not with observation. It's not the things that you think you're going to see. It's the Spirit.
Amen.
So let me go on. I still want to get to our brother Lot here. He said, "For as lightning that shineth out of the part, one part under heaven, and shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." Now, this lightning speaks of two things. Number one, it speaks of speed, just like that. His manifestation. See, the Son of Man is going to be manifest. Amen? He's going to show who he is. The earth is going to see. The earth is going to know who he is. But not only is it going to be quick, but it's going to be very bright. Very bright. Cover all the earth, okay? But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And it was in the days of Noah. I'm going to skip over Noah. So shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Okay? Like I said, I'm just going to skip over Noah. We could spend a lot of time on Noah. But it says that they didn't know until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What happened the day that Noah entered into the ark?
The door was shut.
The door was shut. Now, I had once, I think, an erroneous thinking, because I went back into Genesis and the Lord said, what was it, 7 days? How did he say it? I'm going to go back to Genesis and read it. It's Genesis chapter 6. I think he said, yet 7 days. And you see, it's going to be chapter 7. All right, here verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, the day that Noah entered the ark, okay, was not the first of those 7 days. I believe that it took Noah 7 days to get everything, all the animals, in their place in the ark. He had a lot of work to do. I believe that the food and everything had already been stored. He could never have gotten all that in 7 days. But there's no point in putting it, all those animals in there until the time comes. And then the seventh day, Noah entered in, and then God shut the door. It says, because it says here, they knew not until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Why? First of all, here I am going off on Noah. Why didn't they know?
Blind.
Why? He was telling them.
They're caught up in their own things.
They didn't want to believe what they were being told. So if you're told and you don't believe what you're being told, then you know not. You don't know. But you don't know because you decided somewhere that you're not going to believe what you were told. Isn't that the way it is? Why are the churches not hearing the true message of the kingdom of God? Why are they not hearing the message of the sons of God? Why are they not hearing, amen, the message of the coming of the Lord? Why? Why? It's there in front of them. The point is, they're not reading it. I mean, you go over into, it says that you shall not say, lo here or lo there. You shall not, Jesus said in Matthew, he said, go not after them and do not follow them. Are people not reading that? Why are they doing it? They're going after man. All right, so getting to Noah. Now, what was going on in the days of Noah? And I'm just going to write a few things up here on the board. Help me out if you can follow me with them. It says that they were doing certain things. They eat, drink, married wives, given in marriage. All right, so let's make a list. Here's Noah. They eat, drink, married, and given in marriage. Well, given in marriage, I guess, would be what the parents do, or the father does, and the younger ones are the ones that get married. These are the things that were going on in the days of Noah. All right. Is there anything wrong with any of these things? How many of you eat? How many of you drink? How many of you have been married or have nothing against getting married? Okay. No, normal human activity going on as if we're just going to continue on. Now, there's something different about Lot. So let me go to Lot. It says, by the way, it says, and it destroyed them all. It destroyed them all. Okay? Now, likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot. All right, so give me the list of Lot here. Help me out, Rita. They did what? Eat. Drink.
Bought. Sold.
Okay, wait a minute. Bought.
Sold.
Bought, sold.
Planted.
Planted.
Built.
And built. Okay. Is there anything wrong with these things?
No.
No. Again, normal human activity. But this, particularly these last two, planting and building, okay, buying and selling, is part of eating and drinking, I suppose. Okay? Carrying on business. But when you plant and when you build, what does that say?
The future.
You expect a future. You do not plant if you expect that you're never going to have a crop. You plant in the spring, you expect to have a crop in the fall. You build, this is even more long-range planning, isn't it? You don't just build because you're going to do something with it 6 months from now and then it's going to be gone. You build because you're expecting something to last 100 years, shall we say. Yeah, you're not going to build something that you know is going to fall down in 20 years. So they had long-range plans in the days of Lot. Okay? So let's go on with Lot. It says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Wow.
So is the Son of Man revealed today?
In the Bible, without observation.
But what does he mean in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed?
Well, he's coming himself.
So the Son of Man, we can say, is revealed to us by the Spirit.
Yeah.
But what this is saying, I believe, is that the Son of Man is going to be revealed to all the earth. As the water covers the sea, as the lightning shines from one part of heaven to the other.
Hallelujah.
There it is.
Thank you, Lord.
He is revealed.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, this is pretty awesome. What's going to happen when the Son of Man is revealed? Because he said, it sounds like destruction too, doesn't it? He said here that even thus, shall it be, okay, the same day it rained fire and brimstone and destroyed them all, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I take it there's going to be a lot of destruction. When the Son of Man, you know, going back to some of the things I was preaching from Revelation chapter 18 about Babylon in 1 hour being destroyed. I'm wondering if this ties somewhat to what I've just read here.
Yeah.
in 1 hour. In 1 hour, Babylon is destroyed. That sounds like the Son of Man being revealed. And when the Son of Man is revealed, all this phony church business, gone. Being revealed must also mean that the eyes of people are suddenly open to what they've been doing and what's been happening. And when their eyes are open and they say, whoa, what have I been doing? Where have I been worshiping? What have I been worshiping? What have I been giving my life and soul to? It's nothing but a pile of rubble. And that fast, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm just saying that fast, Babylon can be destroyed. The whole system of Babylon can come down. Listen, brethren, I don't want a shred of Babylon left in me. Because the fire and the brimstone is going to hit my soul too, wherever the Babylon is. Flesh, whatever it is. So you have a choice, brethren. You can let the fire of God burn it out now, little at a time, as you can take it, as you can stand it. Or you can wait till that day and get totally immersed in the fire. And that isn't going to be a very pleasant experience either. Lord, take care of it a little at a time, little by little, as I can take it now. And don't let me go slipping back into it. All right. So, then it just finishes here with this little verse in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Now, let's go over to Lot. Remember Lot's wife. All right, what kind of decisions was Lot making in his life? Were they good decisions or were they bad decisions? As he started off, they seem to be good decisions, okay? Let's look in Genesis chapter 12. I'm just going to read you some of the verses here. I'll read the first five verses. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Do you suppose that that could have included Lot? I will bless those that bless thee?
Yeah.
Could that have included Lot? In other words, I'm thinking, okay, Lot is going out with him, but now, was Lot aware of this promise, this covenant that God gave Abraham? He must have been. Abraham must have shared that. So if Lot had decided to put in with Abraham, instead of come to a place where he felt it was necessary to separate from Abraham, things might have gone a lot different in his life.
Well, yeah.
You see, he could have completely come under this blessing. But in essence, the choices he began to make ended up that his seed became those who wanted to become a curse to Abraham and his seed. Okay? So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Okay? Now, Lot had to have made that decision to go with him. Lot could very well have stayed behind. But he said, okay, Uncle Abraham, I want to go with you. All right. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Hey, I'm just about ready to get started. Amen. So, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. That's kind of poetic, isn't it? Okay, now there's the first decision of Lot. Now come to verse chapter 13, and already they're both prospering. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. That means the southern part of the Sinai, I guess. Okay? So it appears that Lot also followed him to Egypt. Did you know that? I didn't remember that, did you? Lot went down to Egypt with him. And we don't hear anything about the king of Egypt wanting Lot's wife or anything like that. It was just Abraham that Pharaoh was after. You know, okay. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Okay. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Hai, yeah, is that the way you say that? Hai? Okay. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Now, it says, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Now, I'm going to say the reason they could not dwell together was because Lot was asserting himself as an independent entity from Abraham. You know, in other words, it didn't matter how great Abraham's flocks were, how great his riches were, there would have been room for all of it. But the contention came about because Lot said, I want to keep my substance separate. In other words, Lot was basically saying, I'm a separate tribe from you, Abraham. I've got a separate heritage. My heritage is going to be different. Now, I don't hear anything prior to this about God giving Lot any kind of covenant or any kind of promise about his heritage. But because he was, up until this point, Lot was apparently blessing Abraham, therefore he was being blessed as well. Now, I don't want to get too natural and carnal about blessing Abraham, okay? There's a principle here, though, okay? And I believe that God is by the way, who does Paul say the seed of Abraham really is? Singular. Jesus Christ. So if we're going to bless Christ, amen, if we're going to bless the seed of Christ, which is his people, his sons, I believe we're going to be blessed. Amen? And if we're going to try to curse them, things are not going to go well for us. So conflict sometimes involves people invoking curses. I don't know what was said among Lot's servants about Abraham. I don't know what kind of things they said about them. It could be very well be that they weren't blessing them, okay, with their words. So we see that now, verse 7, it says, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife. Now look, listen to Abraham's posture in all this. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Now, the attitude of Abraham toward Lot was, you are my brother. Why are we having this problem? You belong in my house. In other words, if you're my brother, there's place for you in my house. Can't we be in the same house? We're brethren. But, okay, this was Abraham's attitude now. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, why was Abraham, a man who had a covenant with God, God had told him, I'm going to give you the land. Why is he so willing to give half of it to Lot? What was the difference? What was the difference of vision between Abraham and Lot? Where does it talk in the Bible about Abraham's vision? Hebrews, right? Yeah, let's look in Hebrews. It said that, it's the 11th chapter, isn't it? Hebrews? Yeah, we've got to find the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Here we are. By faith, Abraham. Oh, here we are. Here we are. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. All right, so there's Abraham making a decision to follow God, the Word of God. I don't know that he saw a natural image of God, but he heard the voice of God and he knew it was God. Okay, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. What was his vision?
The Lord.
He was looking for another city. He was looking for a city whose foundation was God. Abraham knew where Sodom was. Abraham knew where Gomorrah was. Abraham knew the cities of Egypt. He knew all those places. When he went and looked at those cities, none of them met the criteria of the vision that he had. He may have visited Sodom, may have walked through Sodom at one time or another. No, this is not the one. No, this is not the one. None of these cities of the plain are the one that God has promised me. So, Abraham had a spiritual vision and he had it inside of him. Lot had natural eyes, carnal eyes. Look to the right, look to the left. Take whichever one you want. It doesn't matter to me. So Lot makes a decision again here. See, now the decisions are not turning out so good. Okay? Let's see. Where are we? Okay, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his what?
Eyes.
Eyes? Not the eyes of his spirit. He lifted up his natural eyes and he saw. What does the Bible say about the lust of the eye? Okay. What his eyes saw, he lusted after. Now, it says, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. So Lot said, Garden of Eden over here, scrub brush over there. Hey, brother gave me a choice. I'd be a fool not to take it. So he's thinking now, first of all, he's thinking as a herdsman. Lots of good grass, lots of good for his cattle. No. It says Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Here's a decision now. He chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. All right, here's a question. A herdsman, his problem was there wasn't enough room for the cattle. What's he doing in the city? There's no place for cattle in the city. Yeah. And you see, not only that, but before he went into the city, it says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, there's four directions you can pitch your tent. North, east, south, west. Me? I don't know. If I would probably pitch my tent to catch the rising sun, you know, if I wanted to wake up, or if I wanted it at night in my door. This is where the door of your tent comes. This means every time you come out of your tent, this is the thing you're going, the first thing you're going to see, the first thing your eyes are going to see. So he set this thing before his eyes on purpose. Purposely set this thing before his eyes. Listen, if a man is trying to get over pornography, is he going to be setting these pictures in front of his eyes every time? Is he going to have them plastered all over his wall? If a man is trying to overcome alcohol, is he going to have advertisements for Brewski or whatever the name brands are all over the place? No, he's going to cut this off. He's not going to set it before his eyes because he's trying to overcome this thing. Lot is not trying to overcome Sodom. He's trying to get himself down there into Sodom. Now, so there's a decision. Now, where's this going to end up? Chapter 14, verse 12. We got to get through some of Brother Lot here. It says, and they... These other kings came, and they took these cities of the plain. Where was it here? These kings, Chedorlaomer, of the nations, made war with Sodom and Gomorrah and these other two kings, whatever. And they joined together, and 12 years they served him, and in the 13th year they rebelled. By the way, there you get the number 13 is the number of rebellion. 13, they rebelled. Amen? And so they captured Sodom, they captured these other cities, these other kings from somewhere else. And they joined battle, but they lost the battle. I'm trying to summarize it up here. In verse 11, it says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son. See, he's listed as his brother's son now. See, the brother was dead. So Lot is taking care of him as if he's almost a son to him, you know, who dwelt in Sodom, and the goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, Abram the Hebrew. Here he's called Abram the Hebrew. Isn't that interesting? For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshol, the brother of Aner, with these were confederate of Abram. Amen. And when Abram heard that his brother was when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan.
Hello?
Amen. So 318 of Abram's servants armed, and he pursued them unto Dan. Says he divided himself. Now, I don't know how big this other army was. It had to be a bigger army than 313. It had to be a bigger army. So, anyway, Abram won the battle, and he brought Sodom, he brought Lot back. Now, here's another opportunity for Lot to repent and change and say, what am I doing in this place? I don't have the protection of God. Uncle Abraham comes with only 300 of his servants, and he whips all these five kings that have come to take us, and he wins the victory. And I'm going to go back into Sodom again under this circumstance. So again, he made another decision. God gave him another chance, and he goes back. Amen. All right, so let's go down now to chapter 18. All right, we're going to follow Abraham down to chapter 18 in verse 20. And the three angels have come to visit Abraham, and they give the word to Abraham that it's the Lord. The Lord gives the word to Abraham that Sarah is going to have a child. Okay? So, now two of the angels are on their way, and the one angel, which is the Lord, stays behind and reveals to Abraham what his plan is. So he said, and the Lord said, verse 20, and the Lord said, that's chapter 18, verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now Abraham knew what that meant. He didn't have to tell him, I'm going to annihilate the place. He said, the cry is so bad. In other words, I like to say, it smells so bad. It stinks so bad. I'm going to go see where this rotten corpse really is. And if God is going to make a visitation, you know what? He's not just coming on a sightseeing tour. He's going to do something about it. You know, how many people would like to see a visitation of God? I think I would. But you know what? If I'm not in the right place, I don't think I'd be happy to see a visitation of God. If there's something in my conscience that isn't right, I'm not looking for a visitation of God. I would be saying, oh, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Give me a little time to get things straightened out here, Lord.
But we should feel that way anyway.
Well, maybe. Yeah. All right, so he's going to go down and see what it is. He says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went forward to Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So you see, one of them was the Lord. The other two are going down to Sodom. Now, I'm not going to go into all the negotiation, but Abraham, again, is negotiating with God in behalf of Lot. Abraham, the one who has to make a decision in behalf of Lot, and Lot is making the wrong decisions, and he's upsetting everything Abraham is trying to do for him. Abraham prays for him, and he goes off and backslides again. So, down in Sodom now, okay, and this is verse 19, or chapter 19. The whole chapter 19 is what remains of Lot. Yeah, we've got time to talk about it a little bit. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Oh, let's stop right there for a minute. What does it mean, the gate of Sodom? What happened at the gates? The gates are where the politicians hung out. The judges, the mayor. You had a complaint, you came to the elders at the gate. Where do we have another example of that? Boaz.
Yeah.
Ruth had made the presentation to him there at the stack of grain, you know. And Boaz says, I'll take care of it tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, where does Boaz show up? He's down at the gate where the elders are gathering. And he makes the thing, you know, okay, Ruth is near kinsman to me. She has to be redeemed. Who's going to do the job? Mr. So-and-so, you have the first right. No, I can't do it. It'll mess up my inheritance. well, then in that case, I'm going to take Ruth. And so instead of signing a deal, he takes his sandal off and says, all right, pass the sandal around. Everybody, you saw, you remember this? Remember this day, you got my sandal, and this means that I can have Ruth. I'm redeeming everything that she has, everything that Naomi has. It's all coming under my care and concern. Okay? So that was the gate. Now, had Lot assumed some kind of political position in Sodom? You see, when it says the king of Sodom, it means the mayor. He was just a king of a city. Okay? He couldn't have been a king over thousands of square miles. He was the mayor. But he was like a king. So the mayor, shall we say, the king, the mayor, had to know that it was his uncle that delivered the whole town. The only reason we have a city of Sodom today is because his uncle Abraham delivered us all. And the king of Sodom offered Abraham all the spoil. You can have it all. And Abraham said, oh, no, 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 no. We're not going to have it said that wicked Sodom made Abraham wealthy. Now, apparently that didn't bother Lot. He didn't mind making a profit by going down in Sodom and selling and trading, and whether he was going to be the meat producer or the supplier or the milk producer or whatever for Sodom. Anyway, Lot had not only business dealings and financial dealings, but I believe that Lot had political inroads. Because remember when this gang was at his door, they said, you think you're a judge, don't you? You know, you're just a visitor. You don't really belong here. So, okay, so he sat at the gate. He rose up to meet them. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Lot must have had enough in him that he recognized something unusual in these men. I don't think Lot got up and bowed to every man that came in the gate of Sodom. I read an ancient story about Sodom one time that they were extremely cruel to visitors that would come in. They would just torment them and often even kill them before they would let them loose. Sodomites were just vicious, cruel people. And it shows their thinking, because they watched Lot take these two men to his house, and as far as they were concerned, these were just two more visitors. And Lot said, come to my house. And they said, no. We're just going to spend the night in the open square, in a big open space. All these towns had a big open square. You see them in the old cities of Europe yet today. You go to Prague, there's a great big open square, you know, a real big space. And they said, no, we're going to just spend the night out here. Lot said, no, it's not safe. It's not safe. Why? Why did he know that? I mean, what was Lot not safe? Did he not feel safe when he was up there with the sheep up there next to Abraham? Was there some problem? No, he knew he was safe there. I mean, if God could give Abraham victory over five or four kings? I think it was five. With 300 and some servants, surely they were safe. Surely the army of Abraham, the army of God, was surely able to give him safety. But he knew he was in a place that was not safe to dwell in Sodom. He knew, and he brought his wife and his children into that place. He should have decided when he found out it wasn't safe. Another decision that he must have made somewhere when he knew the meanness, the vicious wickedness of the people of Sodom. He said, I'm still going to stick it out. I'm making a lot of money yet. I've got good investments here, you know. The Sodom stock market is doing good, you know. The Sodom banks, I've got all my money. I mean, I've got to stick with it. Amen. So he brought them to his house, and now he says, but verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed, circled the house all around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, this is a wicked gang. Can't you see them? Yeah, I think I had a dream the other night about some guy trying to follow me. And he was following me. Hey, hey there, you there. And I'm walking, it's like I'm walking in New York City on a dark street. And I'm thinking, I'm going to ignore him. Don't give him any. But he's persistent. He keeps coming. I said, you there. Why don't you answer me? You're being rude to me. You know? And they come with words like that. In other words, they're brewing for a fight, and there's nothing you can do to turn them away. They're gonna come after you, and they'll use that excuse. You know, I talked to you, and you didn't talk back to me. You know, or whatever. I mean, people in bars do this. They're always getting in fights. I don't know. I've never been there, but I hear people tell how they, you know, somebody bumps somebody. You know, this is the vicious meanness of these people. So they came, and they wanted to. Let's see where we are. Oh, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. So they had the LGBT agenda was going big time way back then. Yeah, big time. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to gang after these two men. Mm-hmm. Lot went to the door and said to them, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not wickedly. Why is he calling them brethren? They had become his brethren. Behold, I have two daughters. I cannot understand Lot doing this. He's going to send his daughters out. And these people are so perverted, they wouldn't even take that offer. They wouldn't even take that.
That's so sick. So terrible.
And they said, stand back. And they said again, here it is. This one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. I think that I don't know. It could be that Lot had come to the office of some judge. You know, he's sitting in the gate, and now they're mocking him. You don't really belong here. You weren't really born here. Your parents weren't born here. Your grandparents weren't born here. You're not a genuine Sodomite.
He was stuck in there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They're ready to break that door down because of the demonic spirits that were in these men. Listen, are you getting a picture of what's going on in the world today? It's every day, shooting. Bombs being sent. It makes big news one day, and I mean another day, a guy shoots three or four of them in McDonald's, it only makes a little minor news. Shoots a dozen in a synagogue, makes big news for days and days. Shoots at a school, more big news. I mean, it's going on. The evil imagination of men's hearts is coming out into the open. The things that men have secretly thought about. Boy, I'd like to do this and this. Oh, I hate that. I hate my boss. Boy, oh, if I ever got... What do you know? The next day he comes in with a gun, starts blasting away. Kills his boss, kills two or three other employees. people didn't like them anyway. And then what? The cops show up, boom, he blows his brains out. As if he knew that's the way he was going to die. Devils! It sounds like Sodom, doesn't it?
Demons.
But the men, these are the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So now the angel said to Lot, okay, we're going to destroy this place. Any that you call family, we'll take them out. Sons, daughters, sons-in-law, whatever, get them. Bring him in here now. So Lot was able now to leave the house. It says he went to his sons-in-law, told them that he had a visitation of angels, that the angels were going to destroy the place, and they thought he was what? Joking.
Wow.
Now, what had Lot been preaching to these sons-in-law that they thought he was joking when suddenly he announced the angels are here and the place is going to be destroyed? He must not have been giving them the word of the Lord at all. He was just going to, his daughters just going to let them go off and become Sodomites. Do you see the compromise? These are decisions that Lot had to make. From being one with Abraham to now being one with the Sodomites. It was a series of decisions he made that took him down, 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 down. And he isn't finished making decisions. He isn't finished. Well, they laughed at him. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know what? I could be wrong. I believe that he had other daughters that were actually married to these men. It says that they were married. Now, I know the word married sometimes means betrothed. So it could have been men betrothed to his other two daughters. I'm still going to think it means that he had maybe at least four daughters. Okay? I could be wrong. It doesn't matter. So the morning is coming, and the angels are saying, come on, come on, come on, you got to get moving. And it says here in 16, and while he lingered. Why is Lot lingering? Listen, the fire department came to your door, they knocked on your door, they announced to you, the back part of your house is already on fire. There's a gasoline tank right near it. We can't get to it. Come on out now. And he says, oh, what's the hurry? What's the hurry? Man, you're going to get blown up in a minute. And he lingered. And the men, the angels, there were four that had to be brought out. It says the angel, one a hold of Lot, one a hold of Lot's wife, the other angel, daughter number one, daughter number two, grabs him by the hand.
Wow.
Let's get out of here. And they practically dragged him out of town. Well, what was the hold that Sodom had? It was on his wife too.
It almost seems like he was dazed.
He was mesmerized.
And it drugged almost.
Yeah. You know, I was talking in Prague about the wine of her fornication.
Oh, boy.
So Lot had been drinking the wine of the fornication of Sodom. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wasn't participating in their sodomy, but he was still drunk on the whole system. Whatever he was getting out of it, he was drunk on it.
He liked it.
And she did too.
The whole family
liked it. And when the angel said, don't look back, she said, I've got to have one last look. Salt.
Yeah.
They claim that pillar of salt is still there. Ron Wyatt, if you ever see Ron Wyatt?
Ron Wyatt, yeah.
He said he found a pillar of salt that could very well be her.
Yeah.
And there's others that acknowledge that there's a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Why did he say that?
Decisions.
She made the last fatal decision.
Wow.
But
as soon as her eyes beheld the destruction of Sodom, it happened to her. God said, don't look at it. It's behind you. Leave it behind. And, you know, Lot isn't finished. He's begging them. They say, go to the mountains. Oh, I'm afraid a bear will get me. A lion. But Lot, you've been living out there with bears and lions and sheep and cows and tents all your life, and now you're complaining a bear might. I'm translating, you know, my own words. Can I go to this? He wants a city. Oh, here's a little city. It looks like a nice one. Please don't destroy this little city. Okay, you can have Zoar. Zoar means small. It must have been really little. By the time Lot gets to Zoar, he finds out what's really happened. He doesn't want to live in Zoar anymore. Finally, Lot got convinced that what God was saying was true. Now, maybe this is where he became righteous Lot. But you know, his daughters, they weren't as righteous. They didn't have the faith. They didn't have faith that a man would ever find them. They were going to have to take their father to reproduce their seed. And you know, the firstborn was Moab. Moabites. Read the history in the days of David, Saul, the kings. The Moabites were always after him. The other son was Ban-Ammi, which means son of the father. And the Ammonites and other people just like the Moabites. What kind of heritage did Lot have in the end? So, righteous Lot, let's believe, because Bible calls him righteous Lot is saved. But there's nothing of his heritage that was saved. All right, let's say one thing good about the Moabites.
Yeah, I know.
Ruth.
I was going to say that.
God saved a little remnant of Moab. She had a good heart. Yeah, someday we ought to talk about Ruth. But you know, Ruth had to make some decisions too, didn't she?
She stayed with her mother-in-law.
That's right. There's a decision. And what we're I'd like to just talk about decisions here for the next few weeks. The decisions that people make. Think about the decisions you made. Think about the decisions you make every day. Think about the decisions you're going to make from this day on. Think about the decisions you started to make a month ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, however many years ago. You began to make some decisions that what are you going to do with the kingdom of God?
Right.
What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with your claim to be part of the body of Christ? What are you going to do? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord.
Wow.